Coosada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. On Wall Street, stocks are drifting a bit higher following a three-day lull. The S&P 500 was up 0.3%. It's on track for its first gain since hitting an all-time high last week. Trump Media and Technology Group continued its wild ride and shot higher again in its second day of trading. A federal appeals court has refused to lift an order that blocks Texas from arresting and deporting migrants suspected of illegally crossing the border. The law was in effect for several hours on March 19th because of a procedural order from the U.S. Supreme Court. But the court sent the case back to the appellate court for further consideration. The appellate judges blocked the law again. They're keeping the block in place as the case proceeds. The Dow had 283 points, the NASDAQ up a dozen. This is SRN News.
Biden has started tracking Christians like cattle. Yes, you heard it right. He pressured banks to tag transactions for certain keywords. One of them is Holy Bible. That's a horrifying and creepy attack on our religious freedoms. It's made possible by a digital financial system that makes you a sitting duck. But you do have other options. I recommend a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnau, a news analyst, a best-selling author, and evangelical leader to people who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Biden's anti-Christian bureaucracy while also preserving your retirement savings. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. There are no strings attached. So text FAITH to the number 989898 right now and take action to protect your own prosperity.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing. It's time to get your cooling system ready for the long, hot summer. Call today about the advantages of the Clark Club membership to be sure you're covered. Call 277-2125. Better call Clark. Alabama certification number 09098.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The weather news is getting better and better over the next several days, especially as we approach the Easter weekend. Lots of sunshine today. I've got us around 74 for the high temperature. Partly cloudy, cooler tonight. Overnight low 48. Tomorrow's high up to about 69. Lots of sun. And then for Easter weekend, Good Friday, high in the lower 70s. I think we'll be in the upper 70s Saturday, near or above 80 on Easter Sunday, and sunshine for several days in a row. A great forecast. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
For the lowest prices around on flooring and DIY flooring installation supplies, Budget Floors and More is your new best friend. Luxury vinyl plank, carpet, ceramic tile, floor installation supplies, and more with prices lower than the big box stores. Budget Floors and More, Hunter Lane across from Del Rey to Publix.
From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, these are today's top stories. Plans for the new Capitol Heights Middle School have been released. The state-of-the-art campus was originally priced at around $37 million, but MPS has raised the cost of the project to just over $60 million. Construction for the new school is expected to be completed by 2026. Retired Judge William Shashi has been chosen to fill in for Montgomery Circuit Court Judge Johnny Hardwick, who is recovering from severe injuries. Judge Hardwick was stabbed and shot by his son, Kalfani Hardwick, in February. There have been no recent updates on Judge Hardwick's condition or status. The apartment complex that was the scene of a Saturday night rampage in which a gunman fired more than 100 rounds was already being sued by the city for neglecting its tenants. Quentin Harris was killed in the weekend shooting at Woodley Oaks Apartments. Three other men were also shot. From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, I'm Sky Mosley.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
Make 2024 the year you break away from the chain stores and join us here at Adams Drugs. We value your business and want to provide you the best customer service at the lowest possible price. We've been serving up excellent customer service here in the River Region for over 62 years.
I made the swap to Adams Drugs and I couldn't be happier. Having their job and then getting three kids to all of their activities keeps me busy. I don't have an hour to waste waiting on a prescription. At Adams, they know me and my family. I get in and out in minutes, and when I can't get by Adams, they'll bring the prescription right to my door.
What are you waiting for? Come in to Adams Drugs and let us earn your business. Our friendly and personal staff will talk with you and answer any questions you may have about your prescriptions. Your satisfaction is our number one goal. Visit us at AdamsDrugs.net for the location nearest to you. Adams Drugs is your local independent Health Mart pharmacy. Health Mart, taking the time to listen and care.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for Montgomery's Conversational Radio Show. It's news and views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
Clark.
Welcome. Second hour of the program here. I'm Joey. Eddie Bader's still here.
Heck yeah. You know why?
Why?
Surrounded by food right now, Joey.
God, I know.
Ribs to my left, strawberries to my left, and a strawberry cake to my right.
And the man who brought them Reed Ingram.
Of course, Reed Ingram brought them in.
Of course, State Rep Reed Ingram, but also the proprietor there at Sweet Creek Farm Market. How you doing, Reed?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you, Joey.
Hey, thank you for the
generosity. When you're bringing stuff like that, you come by anytime.
Yeah. I brought you some ribs, too.
Oh, my God.
A half a rack of ribs apiece and some famous coleslaw that we made, the swamp slaw.
That sounds good right now.
So, yeah. You know, when you go on break, try it out.
I gotta dig in.
Like we're gonna wait to go on break.
Because I already know about Sweet Creek. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, came in my work clothes, but we've been unloading trucks, and we're not in session this week. We got a break, so we've been working out at Sweet Creek. Yeah, spring break. It's nice.
Does business get busy there while spring break?
It does, for about 7 weeks, because, you know, our spring break, and then Tennessee spring break, and then Missouri and Illinois and all the other northern states people come through. So it lasts about 7 weeks. You know, it's good, but it gets really old, and then we get right into summer. So,
well, there you go. Yeah. Now, how would you grade this session? How do you think that's all gone?
You know, it started off really as a D or an F with the gaming bill. And I voted against it.
Yeah, tell me why. Because I haven't talked to you about this. The way I approach this is I didn't think anything was actually going to get done. I think the interests in the state are so aligned that nothing ever gets done on this. But why did you really not like this bill in the House?
Well, I don't think we need casinos from one end of the state to the other end of the state, you know, up and down interstates. It just doesn't look good. And plus, it's really bad on our state. You know, it's a tax on poor people. It's a tax on people that have addiction problems. It's a tax on, you know, the people that really are looking for a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and you're never going to get it. You know, so I think there's, you know, we're in the Bible Belt. My district did not want it. I voted my district, and I'm okay to letting the people vote on a lottery, but not to vote on a lottery during our general election. You know, I wanted it off of that tape because we're going to lose our congressional seat. You know, if we're not careful, and if we have something on there, a lot more people, Democrats, turn out to vote for the gaming, then I think it's a given that we will lose the congressional seat.
Now, and why the pushback against what seems like a simple solution of the lottery? Let people vote in the lottery.
Well, I think the only way they're going to be able to get the people that want the gaming, you know, and that's their business. I'm not kicking them in the shin by wanting it, but that's just their district, and they're pushing their district. And so I just think that, you know, it's if you're going to pass casinos, you've got to have the lottery with it. Nobody in this state is going to give it a thumbs up by winning that, not unless you have the other attached to it. And I think the lottery has got to go with it. But I'm not ever going to vote for anything but giving the people a chance just to vote on the lottery.
Okay, that makes sense to me. And I think also my prediction's going to come true. I don't think the Senate and the House are going to agree on much anything.
Well, you know, the Senate passed it and sent it back to us. Started in the House, sent it back to us with just the enforcement piece, the lottery, and you know, changing the date to September. Yep. And that's what it needed to be. I like the vote. More than likely, if it's going to be a roll call vote, it could be a voice vote. You know, just all in favor, yay, or whatever. Depends on what the speaker wants to do, and that's his choice. He's a great guy. But I would vote to concur on what the Senate has done.
And let's go through a few more of the high-profile things that got public attention in the media real quick. Then we'll get to some of the work you're doing in particular. But say school choice did pass. What did you think of that? Did you vote for that?
You know, I voted for it. I was a no to start with until some of the amendments came on. You know, I think that the homeschool people needed to be tested. We didn't get that amendment. They're not tested now. But, you know, some of the other amendments that we put on was a good choice. I don't think what we do at a status quo in the state, being number two or number three worst education component in the union, is working. So anything that we can change that makes sense, I think we needed to do. So I was a yes on that. I started off until we could get it massaged a little bit more and to where we're not hurting the people that are in the public school systems now and not taking a whole lot of money away from them.
And then one that got a lot of attention, especially from the other side of the aisle, is this anti-DEI, the divisive concepts bill.
It should have gone deeper than what it went.
Okay.
But I think that Senator Barfoot did an amazing job with it. He has brought a lot of wisdom into this district in the Senate seat. He had some big shoes to fill with Senator Brubaker leaving.
Sure.
And he is, for the last couple of years, he stepped up. But Senator Brubaker did an amazing job. But on that bill, back on that bill, I'm glad Senator Barfoot brought it. And we got it passed, and of course it was straight down party lines.
Now, has there been any big surprises in the session? Like, is it kind of gone how you thought it would mostly?
You know, at the first, we went a couple of 3 weeks without passing much, just because they were holding the gaming bill up and doing some things with it. And but I think for the most part, after that third week, we passed it. They passed it. I didn't vote for it. But, you know, I think it's gone pretty much normal. You know, it's been... the leadership has been doing their job and working hard, and the speaker and his staff, and everything's going great.
Now, I was asking Senator Barfoot this on Monday. There seems to be a little bit of a, and I just want a general sense, like a little bit of a fight over how to spend transportation dollars in the state.
Yeah.
There's sort of the West Alabama idea, and then there's, I guess, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth wants to make 65 wider. Of course, that'll take working with the feds, but where do you see transportation in the state?
So, you know, I think it's prioritized in needs, and of course, 65. It's huge with people not only transport, you know, going back and forth to UAB, but you know, going to jobs, economic development, day to day transportation, and when you have a problem on that road in between here and Birmingham, and it's problematic, you know, and so if it slows production down for economic development or slows emergency vehicles down, it's time to take a priority on that. And that's not in my district, but I would vote to be the number one priority in the state. West Alabama is, it's a hope it develops kind of thing, you know, and I think that we need to get to it, but I think it's not a top priority in my thing. I think we need to do the outer loop in Montgomery because if malfunction junction 65 and 85 breaks down and we've got so much invested in Hyundai and all the economic development out there, then we're in a mess if we don't have a plan B.
Is the holdup there the Fed side of the deal?
No, or? Well, yes. I think that we had a deal pretty much done when Shelby went out.
Thought so.
And I think that the new mayor that came in did not want it because a lot of the money would be going, two of the exits would be in the town of Pike Road. And I think that's selfish. I think that it's good for our county, it's good for the state, you know, and it's good for our city and everything. It's just like Pike Road. If I incorporated Pike Road, me and a friend of mine did back in 97. If Pike Road hadn't been here, people would be moving out of the county, and more people going to Auburn and Elmore County and such as that. But now they've had a plan B, and they're shopping in Montgomery and still spending money in Montgomery, you know.
Right.
So the tax money's still there. And so, you know, I think that's a high priority to me is safety and being able to keep the transportation as a plan B. You see what happened in Baltimore. you know, on the shipping. There's not a plan B to get shipping out of there now. And that's the same thing that could happen here on 65 and 85.
Right, and God forbid anything like that happen here in this part of the world. Now, do you expect somebody to come hat in hand and be like, well, we tried to get the bond issuance for two prisons. Looks like it's only going to cover one of these prison builds.
Yeah.
Like, what's your sense on where we're at with, because even if we don't want to do something like that, the feds are breathing down our neck.
Yeah, so I've got a lot to talk about on prisons.
Sure.
You know, the dollars are going up and up and up, and it's just, you know, not a whole lot of budget changes, but a lot of the products have gone up, you know, material, dirt work, pipes, and the bricks and mortar, et cetera. And what we thought we were going to be able to spend 1.2 or 1.3 billion, that's almost turning into one of the prisons. We're about 900,000 now just on the one in Elmore County. So, you know, unfortunately, we're having to build new prisons because crime is going up. And it's going up because, in my opinion, of what's going on in cities like Montgomery, what's letting them go on cities in Birmingham and et cetera. And I'm not pointing any fingers, but we are not doing enough on deterring. You know, when there's a crime committed in Montgomery, Alabama, a murder or a felon, the county tries them, the city doesn't, the county tries them, and we house them after that. So the city doesn't have any skin in the game, so why deter crime, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, but it's huge, and I think I'm working on some stuff, and I'll tell you about a bill maybe after the next break when we come back.
Sure.
But I think that the cities ought to be held accountable when it reaches a certain height. You know, when you're down police officers, you know, they're over 200 short in Montgomery. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact number, probably 250. But throwing money at it may not be the answer. It may be the leadership, and that may not be the money. Because a lot of people left knowing they were making that kind of money, and they didn't leave to go to higher money. They went to better working conditions.
Right, right. And, right. And to communities all around Montgomery.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And the sheriff department doesn't have any openings.
They
didn't the other day. They're full. And it's kind of strange that the city of Montgomery is so vacant, almost, you know, what, 33, 34% short, and the county's not short.
Right, and it is a big problem. But how about this? We'll hit this break, and we'll come back, continue to talk about, a bill you have on this issue.
Yeah.
And also many other projects you've been working on, and particular folks focused on the labor participation rate, or the lack of participation
in
this state.
That's like of.
And we'll get into that in a second. Before the break, this part of the program brought to you by Montgomery Men's Health. And there at Montgomery Men's Health, well, fellas, two things happen as we get older. One can be erectile dysfunction, it is what it is. Or low testosterone, a more general problem. And these are not anything to deny, put off, don't be embarrassed about it. And I know guys, I'm one of them, don't like going to the doctor.
Correct.
Like, I'm fine, I'll just keep working. But, you know, Montgomery Men's Health was created to take care of guys just like us. So if you're noticing, in particular when it comes to low T, a lack of motivation, energy, you're always tired, perhaps seeing unwanted weight gain, loss of muscle mass, even a decrease in sex drive, just feel like you're walking through your life in a fog, well, whether or not you have low T is huge in combating some of these issues. You at least need to know whether or not it's low T. So the providers there at Montgomery Men's Health will conduct a testosterone-focused lab workup plus a consultation for only $99. And they have low T treatments there that can truly change lives. Men can experience higher energy, better gains in the gym.
Brother.
That's right, brother. Better mental clarity, improved sleep patterns, a faster metabolism. You usually even notice an increased libido. And, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
You can actually book the same day that you call. Guys, it's time to feel amazing and hit your goals this year. That number, 440-3663. That's 440-3663. Or go to MontgomeryMensHealth.com to book your appointment today.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's a fact. Guys hate going to the doctor. But when it comes to erectile dysfunction and low testosterone issues, men from all over Montgomery have been thrilled seeing the providers at Montgomery Men's Health. Men all the way up to 95 years old have jump-started their sex drive and energy levels. Lots of men suffer with ED for years, but now they're able to enjoy sex again. Tom from Montgomery said, "Montgomery Men's Health has changed my life. I have been able to be intimate with my wife for the first time in 5 years. She thought this problem was because of her, but the pills never worked for me. I had given up until I went to the clinic and realized there were more options for erectile dysfunction. Now I'm happy and my wife is happy. A visit for only $99. And that includes all testing, including a PSA and testosterone test. Give the guys at the clinic a call at 334-440-3663. That's 334-440-3663. Or go to MontgomeryMen'sHealth.com.
Madness is happening right now. But the real action is happening at Toyota of Montgomery. Score our biggest Toyota savings of the year. That's on our biggest selection of new Toyotas in stock. Like the game-winning 2024 Camry, now $299 a month. Trade in your old car, no matter what it is, no matter where you got it. We'll give you up to $2,000 over book value for it. And they're here. The Toyota of Montgomery All-Stars. Shop and save thousands on our certified pre-owned Toyotas. They're just like new Toyotas, even come with a warranty, but cost thousands less. Want in on the action? Hurry before it all ends March 31st. Dribble down to Toyota Montgomery online at toyotamontgomery.com. Part of the Sutherland Automotive Group.
Camry LE, MSRP 30,958, 12,000 miles per year for 36 month leases with 3638 due assignment. $0 security deposit with approved credit. Trade value is based on excessive wear, tear, and mileage, plus tax, tag, title, and $995 dog fee. Offer ends 4/1/2024.
Are you tired of the mainstream media's biased reporting? Do you want to stay informed on the news that really matters to you? Look no further than 1819 News. At 1819 News, we bring you the latest in Alabama news, politics, sports, culture, and more. We've assembled a team of journalists with Alabama values dedicated to the truth and the truth alone. Visit us at 1819news.com today. That's 1819news.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Honest News, Alabama Values.
The Health and Wealth Show. The Health and Wealth Show. The show so nice, we said it twice. Weekday evenings at 6 on News Talk 93.1 WACV. The Health...
Make it up, son. Joke's over, hey?
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the Afternoon. I'm Joey, and Eddie's still here.
I'm here, buddy.
And also, State Representative Reed Ingram in the studio with us. And where we left off, we were talking about the issue of crime. And normally, crime is thought of as a city municipal function. It can be the county, too.
Right.
But there is and can be a role for the state, and you have an idea about this.
Well, you know, I've been toying this bill around for a couple of years, have not filed it. I've been working out all the kinks, trying to get everybody happy with it. That to where it's going to make a difference, you know. But, you know, when a crime is committed, a felony is committed in the city, then the county is responsible to try them, and the state is responsible for housing them. The city doesn't have any skin in the game whatsoever. So if there's X amount of murders, no worry to them as far as financially. They're concerned about their bad press and safety of their citizens.
Sure.
But there's no financial burden on the city when there's a crime committed. Because we, the state, have to house them for as long as they're, and then probation, we do the probation, we do it all. So from the time they're found guilty until the time they're let out off of parole or whatever the case may be, then we're, dollars-wise, the state taxpayers pay that. And so what this bill would do, instead of dropping them off to their mom and daddy when they get caught shoplifting or breaking into a car, these juveniles, then we would take them and they would be mandatory to spend 24 hours in a confined area in the youth facility. And then the only way they could bail out would be from a guardian, not a gang member, not a friend, or not just a friend of the family or whatever. It had to be a guardian. And in that time that we're holding them, they're mandatory to spend a two-hour intervention with a state trooper. So there's a class in the morning. There'll be a class in the morning and a class in the afternoon. We've got to get a handle on these juveniles because they become, you know, if they get away with one crime, they think they can get away with anything. And that's what happened. That's what's happening. That way we can track this child and make sure that they're in school, make sure, see if they get a repeat. You know, they come back. If they get picked up the next time, they have to come back again. And then they will have to look at more consequences.
So the facilities are already there for
this? The facilities are there. Back in the 80s, the state helped the county build these youth facilities. And so the detention facility is there. It's out on the west side of Montgomery. And these five counties would have these detention facilities already in place. The only thing we would have to put in place is, I know we're short on state troopers, but maybe we can bring some retired guys back. And that's where all your wisdom is anyway. And let them teach the class 5 to 6 days a week, one morning class, one afternoon class.
Mm-hmm. Because, again, just to reiterate the point, there are kids breaking into cars, doing all sorts of things that, you know, aren't murder, though you see that with teenagers as well, unfortunately, in our dear city. And doesn't it start that way, where it starts with petty crime, even if you want to call it petty crime, and then it can end up with something even worse?
And there's a lot of things that are in elements, and a lot of it is at home. But you can't blame it on that anymore. You know, we have a lot of programs that we do for schools and tutoring and to be able to catch a net on that. And I think a lot of these kids, it's just escalated since COVID. And I think the net has got a bigger hole in it, and these kids are falling out off to the side. They need help, and they're not getting it at home. And we need to find a problem and being able to be to deter crime and not just build more prisons. I think there needs to be tough penalties as they're a juvenile.
Well, and that makes sense to me. 272-9228, if you have a comment or question for Representative Reed Ingram. Let's go to Red Top, who's been patient. Hey, Red Top, how you doing?
You know, Joey, I appreciate you getting Reed on the show because I was needing to call him in a few minutes.
Hey, Red Top, I got a bucket of strawberries here for you that when I next time I see you, you come get them.
Those look good.
Yeah. Okay. Very good, Reed. We'll take care of your restaurant next week.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Good deal.
Hey, thank you,
Joey. Thank you, Joey. I appreciate that. Next time I need to talk to a customer, I'm just going to call the regular.
Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your friendship, my friend.
Well, I do too. Are there still truancy laws in effect, or are these all canceled and nobody enforces them anymore?
Such as?
Truancy. Yeah. Kids not going to school.
Yeah, so nobody enforces it, I don't think. You know, used to when, and Daryl Bailey does a good job with that, but his hands are full. Ellen used to do a great job with it. But since COVID, I think, and homeschool has gotten so popular, I think that there's a big piece of being able to capture that child. You know, and used to when you were out on the street and you were 15, 16 years old when we were growing up, a police officer would pull off on the
stop
side
and
of the
talk
road
to you
and want to know why you're not in school. You know,
exactly.
And I think
that
needs to come back.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think we need to get back to that. I think they need to have a school ID with them, and I think the police officers need to be more. They're supposed to be out there for public safety and everything. So I think that that's something that we need to be able to have more accountability on of these kids, because that's our future. And another thing that we're fixing to talk about is participation rate in the job place. Mm-hmm. And we have a huge vacancy, and I think a lot of our people out there are being taught not to work and how they can get benefits. And I think we got to work on that as well. But that's just, you know, if they don't made to go to school, they're not programmed to stay in a schedule. You know, they're just out there on the street. And I think that's part of the element that we're missing.
Oh, yeah, because that's the young group from bottom up. And there used to be dedicated truancy officers when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Of course, I went to Catholic school, and I didn't dare skip school. If you want to be scared, have a Dominican nun chasing you with a ruler.
Yep. You're exactly
Roll Tide, go Trump. Thanks, ask Tom. Joey.
Yeah, no, but I've told you this before. By the time I went to Catholic, the nuns were gone. Well, they were. There's still nuns around, but they weren't teachers or enforcers.
They weren't chasing you with a ruler?
No. And plus, I was very good. I didn't start cutting up till I was in college. I was a very good boy for way too long. I'll put it that way. Let's hit another break so we got plenty of running room.
Let me say this. Red Top, if I appreciate what you do. If anybody needs anything painted, that is the best painter I have ever run across in my career.
He's a great guy. Pretty good musician.
He's honest. Yeah, he's a great musician. So I leave my place open to Sweet Creek. He comes in at night, takes care of it. He's a great guy. Super good guy.
We got
Thank you for your friendship.
All types of folks calling into this show. You never know who's going to be. But got to hit this break so we have plenty of time to talk about the labor participation in the state or lack thereof. First, though, this part of the program brought to you by Alabama Home Mortgage. And you've been working with them some, right?
I have. In fact, they've got a client of mine right now. This past Sunday, they wanted to put an offer on a house. Now, most mortgage companies are not open on Sunday, but Madeline is. And so Madeline was able to get their pre-approval letter written to them for Sunday, so we put an offer in that day.
Wow.
Most banks will not do that for you. That's why I love Madeline and Kim. Absolutely adore them.
Well, this is great with, I mean, it's so many of our sponsors. It's locally owned folks that are invested in the community. And so they actually get to know you and can understand your concerns. It's not like you're dealing with a website or a 1-800 number.
Exactly.
And not only do they get to know you, they get to understand why you're trying to own a home. Or maybe you're looking to refinance. There are a lot of folks looking to refinance. When you look at the average APR on credit cards, if you're running behind, 29% is a heck of a lot to pay.
Horrible.
Yeah, and so if you've got to get out from under credit card debt, or maybe you want to reinvest in your home or your family, it's your money, it's your equity you built up. Alabama Home Mortgage can help you with a great refinance deal. And this is especially true whether you're buying or refining with veterans. They know the latest with the VA home loan programs there at Alabama Home Mortgage. And this is the best game in town. If you're a veteran and if you've not taken advantage of these benefits you earned through your service, well, Kim and Madeline there at Alabama Home Mortgage can help you out. So call them today, 567-4223. That's 567-4223. Or you can always visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. There is a difference in mortgage companies. Like Kim and Madeline prove that to you today. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hey guys, this is Todd Clark with River Region Contracting, your premier roofing contractor in Central Alabama. So remember the name, River Region Contracting, for all your roofing needs. We're not affiliated with any other roofing company in the River Region. We've been in the roofing business since 2005. We don't have to buy our leads, and we don't have to knock on doors when the storms come around. We have thousands of satisfied customers throughout Central Alabama. So call us at 334-356-8635. That's 334-356-8635.
Honey?
Yeah?
Do you think it's safe using all these extension cords?
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
Actually, too many extension cords can be dangerous. Call Crosby Electric to add new outlets.
Sure is dark in our yard.
Good. We'll sleep better.
Maybe you will.
Crosby Electric does landscaping lighting for beauty and safety, as well as security lighting for peace of mind.
Oh, darn. The vacuum cleaner just tripped a breaker.
Honey, never vacuum while I'm making popcorn.
Tripping breakers can indicate a potential fire hazard. You really should have it checked out by Crosby Electric, serving the River Region for almost 50 years.
Sweetheart, are you ever afraid that lightning could damage our electrical system?
Afraid? Come on. No. Maybe we should call Crosby. You know, just give him a call.
Whole house surge protection can protect you and your possessions. For an assessment and for all your electrical needs, call Crosby Electric, 272-2085, or visit us at crosbyelectric.com.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Riverside Chevrolet Wetumpka. If it's Chevy, it's Riverside. Best price, best selection. Check them out on the web at riversideusa.net.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The weather news is getting better and better over the next several days, especially as we approach the Easter weekend. Lots of sunshine today. I've got us around 74 for the high temperature. Partly cloudy, cooler tonight. Overnight low 48. Tomorrow's high up to about 69. Lots of sun. And then for Easter weekend, Good Friday, high in the lower 70s. I think we'll be in the upper 70s Saturday, near or above 80 on Easter Sunday, and sunshine for several days in a row. A great forecast. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Web Bobo with Capital Tractor. Check out our special spring savings on Kubota zero-turn mowers, like the Kubota Z411. At 10 miles an hour, it makes cutting around bushes, beds, and trees a breeze. Powering Alabama. Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
My name's Joey Clark. Again, we have Eddie and State Representative Reed Ingram here in the studio. Now, where we left off, and this is something you've been really working on this session, is the labor force participation rate here in Alabama. So where are we at, and what's causing the problem?
Well, it's a lot of things. You know, it's not just one thing. I can name a couple of them that are probably the lower hanging fruit, but, you know, the participation rate is hovering around 47%. Participation rate of non-participation, I mean. Mm-hmm. So, you know, between ages of like 24 to 63, and that's huge. Now, back in 19, we were the fifth best in the union. Mm. So you could blame it on COVID, but you can't. Everybody was on the same playing field during COVID. So now we're in the top, in the worst five, probably worst six. Mm. We're one of the worst. And I think that, you know, a lot of people looked at COVID in this state and maybe looked at how they could get out of the workforce and maybe get on government programs, mm-hmm. Giveaway programs. Maybe the salary went up for your spouse and maybe you can stay at home without working because the salaries did go up, you know, and benefits went up. So, you know, there's a lot of different things, whether it be childcare, whether it be transportation, whether it be housing. There's a lot of different things out there, you know, but is the government going to be able to get into it and mandate some things? I think that's bad, you know, to mandate that you've got to go to work or you've got to do this. I think that it's a culture thing. When we were growing up in my generation, my daddy taught me how to work, and he worked, you know, 6 days a week, go to church on Sunday. And he's 90 and he still works 6 days a week and goes to church on Sunday. And his same way with his brother that runs Jackinger Motors is 91 and he works 5 days a week, mm-hmm. you know, so they all work. That generation and then my generation, and then as we got past COVID, the younger ones, I employ close to 80 employees. And it seemed like after COVID, a lot of these younger kids, 16, 17, would come apply for a job in their pajamas, you know, or, yes. or not look you in the eye and no social skills. And, you know, why do you want a job? Oh, my parents want me to have a job. Yep. Well, I don't hire you if your parents want you to have a job. I want you to have a job in your heart or you want to work in your heart.
Yep. Right.
So a lot of that is gone, you know, because we sat at home for so long, but every state had that same problem. But I think what we need to do is look at what we've dropped, you know, on some crumbs and being able to help put the tools in the toolbox. I think I've got a bill that's dropped to give a tax credit to employers for childcare. And that would be, you know, a minimum deduction, a 50% deduction of whatever that childcare is with a cap. And being able to help the ladies, the women, get back into the workplace in case there's a handicap with that child care, they can't go back. And so little things like that. But, you know, we've taken off, last year we took off the deductions on overtime. Mm-hmm. And we thought that was going to cost us about $60 million, maybe $70 million. Well, now we're at about $140 to $150 million. So we got to be careful when we take stuff off because it's harder to take it away. But physical note, we had no idea, no tools in the toolbox to figure out what the overtime was because it was all lumped into one. And so now when we do stuff like child care, we can't do 100% because we don't know what the physical note is. You know, we've got to be able to leave the oxygen mask on us as a state to be able to provide services. We need to not raise taxes, but we don't need to deduct them and get us below where we can, you know, not build prisons or not have the law enforcement that we need. We've got to provide the services because that's what those taxes are for. We've got to provide the services for all the citizens. So, you know, when we got to be cautious about taking stuff away, like the 1 cent sales tax on groceries, that's great. Let's take a little bit of time, and it's got guardrails. I think that was a great start. Start taking baby steps. But this bill, I think, is going to help the workplace for the women to be able to get back in. And then I've got another bill that's probably going to be controversial. But we have found that in the workforce for illegals, in 2010, before I was there, the state passed a bill to where if you're illegal, you cannot go to a college in the state of Alabama. We got to mark that place for our citizens that are, you know, that are citizens of the United States, and not only that, but of our state. Well, we've also found a leak in some of these counties that to where these illegals that have mandated we have to let them go K through 12 to go to school, mm-hmm. that now if they've applied for legal status and they've gone K through 12 and they've been here all those years and they've applied for legal status, they still can't go to college even though they're going to pay for it themselves. So now they're going across the state, I mean out of the state to Florida or wherever, to Tennessee or whatever. All of our sistering states allow them to go to college. Mm-hmm. So we're losing those even though we're getting a higher population. We got to build a wall. We got to keep them out. By God, they're here. So what in the heck are we going to do with them? We've put them through K through 12 to where we, the taxpayers, the federally mandated to put them through, and now they want to pay for their own college. We ought to let them if they've applied for legal status. So that's one of the bills that we've got out of this committee that we're gonna look at and see what the body wants to do. But there's some smaller ones, you know, that are going to make a little difference. But we can't mandate people. That's right. One of the things we stand for in this country. We don't need to mandate anybody to do anything. But it's a culture thing. And these people in these churches and some of these places are not encouraging us biblically to work and teach our kids to work. And I don't think that's being taught in some of our areas, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah, and there is a movement of folks. Did you see Bernie Sanders wanted to turn it to a 32-hour work week without loss of pay? And I'm like,
right. I generally work. My average work week is about 87 to 92 yep. hours a week, seven right. days a week. Now, I think that's a little much. But I think that we need to set a good pace for our kids out there.
Right.
And I'm comfortable. I'm not killing myself. I enjoy what I do. Right. And I think that's part of what you do, you know. You've got to be comfortable and you've got to enjoy what you do to be able to have your heart in it to do a good job for your employer.
And getting into this job, I thought, especially now just doing the noon to three show, I'm only working 15 hours a week. Right. No, that's not how this works. Yeah. I always have homework. Always have homework. Now, going back to, in particular, on the overtime thing, I'm more digging to the logic here, not just on overtime, but a principle. We're giving incentives. We're trying to give incentives, right. whether it's to work or to work more or a company to hire more. And just to give back what you were saying, it seems to me that you don't want to give away the store. You don't mind offering a carrot, but you don't want to give away the store.
Right.
How do we square that? Because it sounds like some companies would take advantage of people that were already working, and now they're getting a bunch of money for folks who were already working.
So here was a problem. Let's take Hyundai, for example. Hyundai had just a minimum of employees, what they were working with. And so this worker didn't want to work any hours because he works 10 hours over. The rate goes up, they take more out of him. So why do I work? Because mm-hmm. I'm only going to end up with $100 more instead of, if I don't do it, I may get $400 more. So I'm going to rather sit on the couch and watch yep. TV, you know, and just work that overtime. So the production was down. They were not being able to get their production out and build a car as fast enough and et cetera, et cetera. So we had to find something. But when we passed that bill, I didn't sponsor that bill, and I had reservations on it. I wanted to put guardrails, or thought about doing it. I didn't bring it because it had overwhelming bipartisan support. But you got to look at and play it out. if you think it's something that's going to be big like that, put a sunset on it for 5 years, or take out half of the deductions, you know, and then you can always add, but you can't take away. Once you pass something like that, just like the 1 cent sales tax off of groceries, that's a good thing. But if we had taken it off and we had to go back and put part of it on, if we'd taken it all off, and education would have been problematic on funding, then you would have had some mad people out there. You would have been an SOB for raising taxes, you know?
Right. And so you're saying let's be careful before bleed out a little too much. Though, I'm in the camp of I always love a tax cut, Reed. So,
there you go. I agree. I mean, all about it. But you've got to maintain those services without adding more cost on it. You can't just build roads and build prisons. You've got to have attrition on that side to be good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. But you can't give away the farm and not provide the services.
Now, with the illegal immigrants that are here, that, again, just giving back what you said to me, K-12, we're already paying for it. That's mandated. They have to be of legal status or having seeking legal
status. That's right. They had to apply for legal status.
Okay.
And you had to go to school in the States.
Okay.
You have to go to school. Nobody is coming over the border is going to be able to go to our college. I think that was great. But now that we've paid to educate on the taxpayers, and now they want to go on and contribute back as a good citizen, and they've wanted invested instead of just living here illegally, they've invested and applied for legal status. Let them go to school before they become a criminal. Let them help in our economic development, and all of that we need help in.
Now, when you look generally at your district, and just we can even spread out beyond your district, just central Alabama, like when I look at the state, I mean, there's times, Reed, where I say to, like, the senators, like Tuberville and Britt, like, all the people and all the money's up north in the state. Why are you even talking to me? I appreciate that they do. But how do we get more growth and development in the middle part of this state?
And we're working on it. You know, a lot of times it's done by, and we've got a good leadership. I don't want to say this is what's wrong with our problem in the House and the Senate. But, you know, we've got a lot of leadership in the House from North Alabama.
Right.
And we've had. But now the Speaker is doing a great job of, you know, making sure that Central Alabama and South Alabama is taken care of. The new Speaker that we've got, Nathaniel Ledbetter, is doing a great job. I appreciate his leadership, and I support him. Now, in the past, there's been a lot of, a lot of people that were there before, and we wasn't getting that kind of leadership here. But now with me chairing two committees and Barfoot chairing committees and on, we don't see anything going. Now, there are more needs in Madison County with being in Huntsville and all of that Redstone Arsenal. There are more infrastructure needs, and I get it, and that's a priority.
Sure.
But, you know, other parts they're looking at as a fair playing ground.
Well, and how would you, because you're doing your part. You said you employ 80 people.
I employ 80 people.
So, but how, you're talking about the generational change. How would you describe the change in this this part of the state, this part of the world, over the last few decades? Because I'd imagine there's been some good and bad when we look at it. But it seems to me like everything has sort of spread out. To me, if the river region could work together, like if there really was some synergy, I know folks are working on it, but there really was some synergy between all the communities around here, I think we could really go gangbusters.
And I think you're right. I think what has been a competition between Elmore County, Montgomery County, City of Montgomery, Wetumpka, and I don't think there's a whole lot of it's more of a competition to them. Hey, I don't want you coming over here in my territory. Hey, I'm lost these people to you. And it's kind of like there's no... But, you know, I think with me and Barfoot having bleeding over into Elmore County and I think Senator Barfoot represents five different counties. But you know, I think it's better now than what it was. And, Senator... Brubaker did a great job when he was there as well.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm running out of time here because we got to talk to Michael Cohen here in a second.
But I do want to talk about Brubaker.
That's where I want to go right now.
Yeah.
So what do you make of this runoff race? I'm interviewing both candidates every week leading up to the runoff, but I know you're very much in the camp of former Senator Brubaker.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's the best man for the job?
Well, he's proven. I don't know that he's ever raised taxes. They're saying he raised taxes. They say he's against Trump. That is not true at all. I've known Brubaker in the car business. I've been in the car business. I've known him. He helped me with my campaign when I came in 04. He helped me in 14. And I've known him as a friend. I've known him as a business person. And I don't know of anybody else, any stronger ethics that's in the car business or in politics than Brubaker. He has been a friend, and I described him the other day when we were talking as the most solid politician I have ever met in this area. He is, when he tells you something, it's that's the way it's going to be. If he tells you he's going to pass something or stop something, that's the way it's going to be. He has this ability of working with other politicians without a compromise, and he is just as strong as he can be. And the other lady that's running, I don't know her. She's never came to see me, but I wouldn't support anybody but Brubaker just because I know his record, and he's just he's a great guy, and he's not there for the money. He's got plenty of it, and he's not there for the glory. And when I came in 14, Brubaker was there, and he helped me with some stuff, and I helped him with some stuff, and it's always been straight up. I mean, always been straight up. And he says, Reed, never go out to these gatherings at night, drinking and all this stuff. And he never would, and I never would. I don't drink. I've never seen him out partying. He's not there for the glory or travel or nothing like that. He's there to make this country a better country, and he made this state a better state. And he is a good man, and I would carry his word any way I could.
Well, and that's a heck of an endorsement. Mm-hmm. I don't really do endorsements, but I'll just say this. I can't argue with anything you said. I think everything said's pretty true there. So, but I appreciate your time today. We got to do this on a more regular basis.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
And thank you for the cake and the ribs and the strawberry, all this stuff.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. Thank you for y'all's friendship. Thank you for what you do about educating everybody in the River Region. I mean, it's y'all do a great job. It's not a better show out there.
Oh, thank you, Reed.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Well, we got to hit this break. We'll have Michael Cohen of Cohen's Electronics and Appliances on the other side.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
May the odds be ever in your favor as you embark on Prattville Carpet's Mohawk Money Hunt. Somewhere within the city limits of Prattville is the Prattville Carpet Troll Doll. Find it and bring it to Prattville Carpet to win $1,000 in cash. Clues will randomly be dropped every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the Prattville Carpet Facebook page or at PrattvilleCarpet.com. So monitor both to hear the clues fast, find the troll, and be $1,000 richer. Get the gameplay details anytime at PrattvilleCarpet.com or the Prattville Carpet Facebook page.
Prattville Carpet, we're more than just carpet.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at MyAlabamaHomeMortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back. I like that shirt.
Oh, yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
What am I asking about today?
What'd they ask?
Who is Joe Bird Productions? And I gave them a little history about it, and they were touched.
Oh, they were touched?
They were very touched by that, yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, that might be an official thing before too long here.
Excellent.
Let's go to Michael Cohen of Cohen's Electronics and Appliances. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Hey, how are y'all?
Pretty good.
It's great to have Eddie back. That's what I'll say.
Man, it is great to have Eddie back. Look at you. You only have to work half as hard.
Oh, my goodness. This you know this joker I work with, Michael. Like, it's just...
I know.
What
I know.
A mess.
Maybe you have to work twice as hard when he's there.
Maybe. There are times, yeah. There are times.
Nah, he's become a good friend. What am I saying?
Hey, let's talk about, it seems to be all the rage these days. You've had folks stopping by about these Speed Queen products. I think we need to keep pounding the table about them. This is really great stuff.
It is great stuff. I mean, you know, one of the few companies that is built in America for your laundry. That's all they do is laundry. Not only are they commercial laundry, but they also have some cool features for your residential to help get rid of your pet hair that gets all over your clothes or your blankets. So, but they, you know, they've been making the same kind of washer and dryer since the 80s. It looks like the 80s. It's built like a tank. They use a lot of steel. They don't hardly use any of the plastic parts. They use less parts. The units weigh more. They're engineered to last 25 years. They make three different levels. One level gets a three-year warranty. One gets a five, and one gets a seven. But they are great units. Super fast wash cycle. I think they can do a wash cycle starting at about 26 to 28 minutes. So you can do a lot of laundry if you have a lot of kids.
Yeah,
you're right. And you want something that works. And whether somebody buys a Speed Queen or any of your other great appliances, electronics there, y'all have, well, you deliver confidence because y'all essentially have people's back if something goes wrong.
That's right. That's right. We have our own service people. We've got three people in our customer service to help schedule the calls and keep up with deliveries. But you know, we'll come out there, we'll do the repair. If there's something that we need to get with the manufacturer on to help facilitate something above and beyond what their warranty states, we're happy to do that. And so, you know, that's what we try to do. And that's why we're here. And you can talk to one of the customer service people. Sometimes I get the call. Sometimes David gets a call when they need some extra help. But, you know, we're here to take care of you, and we try to do the right thing.
So, folks, you can always go to thinkcohens.com and see what they got going on just from the comfort of your home, thinkcohens.com. But I really do encourage you to stop by the Eastern Boulevard, 2515 Eastern Boulevard, here in Montgomery. They're open 9 to 6, Monday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturdays. And when you stop by, find Michael, find one of the team members, be like, hey, we heard Michael on the radio. That's right. Why we're here.
That's what they say. And some of them even say, I need to practice a little.
Everybody's a critic, Michael.
They say, Joey sounds really good, but you need to work on your stuff.
Yep.
People, man. Well, I appreciate your time as always, Michael. Really do.
All right.
Hey, bud.
Have a great day.
You too, man.
Like that guy. Hey, we got just a little few minutes left. Have we learned anything today? We're going to check again later in the show, but have we learned anything? Well, we learned some stuff from reading.
I learned these ribs are smelling really good, Joey.
Yeah, the top of the hour?
It's really smelling good.
Yeah, Joey. I think we need some of that. Well, no, and I did learn some stuff. I did not know about the labor problems in this state in that regard, in terms of participation.
I knew it was low, but I didn't realize it was that low.
Right.
But my big thing is root cause. Why? I mean, everybody's got to have money, right? But if I can make $60,000 a year going to work, bust my butt, or I can make $40,000 a year sitting at home waiting on a check.
Right.
Human nature's kicking in, folks.
Yeah, and it's not like you're doing radio work. It's like working out at Hyundai, breaking your back, literally. You're going to go with the sit on the couch and make 40 a lot of times.
I'm just telling you, a lot of people have that option. And I'm like Reed. I think we need to figure out what's going on with that. I think some bills have been passed that with good intent, but the outcomes were not what they expected.
And largely with the legislative session, nothing has happened that's made me like blow a gasket by any means.
No, not this go around, huh?
I've been a little surprised. Like, I always want them to cut more. But, they, you know, I get that. There's things I can't control. I got to control my own expectations, I suppose.
Yeah, cut more. Always good to cut more.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially when you're on the overtime bill. Man, that when I worked at Hyundai, literally 55% of my salary was overtime.
Overtime, huh?
Yeah. And that's how it worked. That's just how that program worked. You could make as much money as you wanted, but is as much as you want to show up. And we'd have guys, our 12-hour shifts were standard, but it was not uncommon to see people pull 24-hour shifts.
That's not safe.
I'm talking about safe. We're talking about making money.
I'm just saying, like, if y'all make a mistake out there, people get hurt or killed.
Yes, they do.
Yep. Hey, you want to get into the whole UAW thing? Governor Ivey.
Mister, I'm tired of the UAW trying. Come down here and take the money from the workers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, though I hear all these politicians, like, and I'm not surprised, they're very conservative, and I kind of agree with them about when I look at unions as a historical thing.
Sure.
But do they have really any say in this at the end of the day?
My thing is, and I've thought long and hard about it, just like with UAW and Hyundai, I'm not there anymore.
Right.
When I was there,